DC Reeves from the Tuscaloosa News and TideSports.com. DC, thanks for being on. I don't know if you how much you heard of that, but again, I took it as a real positive when I got handed the release yesterday, and I had no indication beforehand that was going to take place. But when I saw the release that Jeff Garrett was going to redshirt, I thought it was a great thing for him that he's going to actually be willing to do that in a day and age where so many guys are leaving early to either try to go pro or to go to another school if things aren't working out. This is a kid who sounds like he's willing to make an investment long-term in both his future overall as a player, but also at the University of Alabama.
Yeah, definitely. And actually, I came on when you said he needed to put on 15 or 20 pounds, so I knew you weren't talking about me. it would probably be the other way.
No judgment there, I promise you.
No, look, I think especially in basketball now, I think we've turned a corner. If you look just overall, the landscape of college basketball in the last 10 years, and really with the new NBA rule where you've got to play a year, you know, I would say, you know, 10 years ago, I mean, how many kids did we talk about that would skip college and try to go to the NBA draft, and it was always a bust? And I think the message has started to get out in that regard, and I'm not talking specifically about this case. I just mean in general about,
right,
you know, kids understanding that so few players. I mean, you look at a guy like Relaford, as good of a player as he is, you know, if you're 6'1", you better be Allen Iverson or John Wall or somebody like that, that quick, that fast if you want to play at the next level. So I think in a way we started to turn a corner, you know, in terms of how kids feel about, you know, maybe jumping too early or making rash decisions and maybe enjoying their college career, understanding that that might be it. You know, it's always a good sign. I think in football you're starting to see redshirting a little less, and I think in basketball you're starting to see kids maybe accept it a little bit more, generally speaking. But, look, I've always thought, especially in basketball, I mean, it's a per case decision in my mind. I mean, you have to understand how many minutes you're going to be getting, how much you're going to contribute. Is that work, is mop-up duty or anything like that, you know, six, eight minutes a game? If that's not what you're going to be happy with and you think you can have a better career by sitting out a year, I think that's the smart thing to do. So that's a case-by-case situation. But it just certainly, as you mentioned, takes a little bit of unselfishness to not think you're better than the other players that are playing, and you got to sort of put your ego at the door. So that's certainly a good sign, at least for the team chemistry and team mindset.
Yeah, I'll just say two quick things about it, DC, and then we'll move on to football. But I think it does say two things. Number one, it says that after having him on campus for several months, Alabama thinks enough of him to want to invest another year in him. They're not sitting here going, hey, maybe we made a mistake. Let's get this guy in, get through the year, and then maybe help him go play somewhere else. And the flip side of that, it shows an investment on Jeff's part that he's giving up his redshirt year, where a lot of guys will use that, you know, kind of keep that in the hip pocket if they do want to transfer and not lose a year of eligibility like Ricky Tarrant did. Michael Kessens did. So I take that as being a very good sign indeed.
That's true. And because you're right, in both cases, both the player and the program could do other things if they felt like he wasn't going to be able to get it done. That would make more sense for both of them. So, yeah, in a weird way, asking him to sit out a year does reinforce the commitment that they think he can be successful for sure.
Talking to D.C. Reeves, he joins us, as all of our guests do, on the Budweiser Hotline, presented by Green Beverage. Let's talk this weekend. I know it's not an opponent that is likely to give Alabama any challenge whatsoever, but it's never about that with Nick Saban, is it? It's always about his team, regardless of whether it's Western Carolina or Notre Dame. He's just wanted to see what his team can get done.
Absolutely, and it's funny. The way I've been referencing this week is there's one message for the players, and there's, I think, another message for the coaches behind closed doors. The message for the players, and understandably so, is to focus on this game. And you know, people might say that's silly, but I think it's really to prepare these kids for other seasons and other situations where maybe the team isn't this big of a talent gap. Maybe it's a lower-rung SEC team that they want to look ahead. So you got to keep the kids in the same habits, even if they could win this game by 100 if they want to, probably, but there could be letdown spots plenty of times in some of these young players' careers where, you know, if you give them a little slack in a week like this, they think they're going to get it in a week when you're playing a sub-500 SEC team that can beat you. So So I totally get that, and I totally get that message publicly. But Nick Saban and his coaching staff are way too good at their job and way too smart to not be spending any time schematically on Auburn. Now, he would never in a million years admit that publicly, but there is no possible way that those coaches, at minimum the coaches, and maybe they're throwing in a wrinkle or two that the players don't notice on certain things in practice, but there is absolutely no way that most of this week, schematically, film, all of that stuff, isn't dedicated to the Iron Bowl.
When you look at Auburn, and look, I know your focus is on Alabama by covering that beat, but just as an observer, you watch games, you follow what's going on. Is Auburn, was that a blip on the radar, what we saw last Saturday in Athens, or do you think that they're in a really bad spot right now?
What's the saying? You're never as good as last week, and you're never as bad as last week. I think it's a case of that. I certainly think they've got issues that they didn't have last year. The offense isn't nearly as deadly and consistent. And they've had issues on defense. It's funny. Remember, early part of the year, we pointed to that Kansas State game and said, man, this defense is looking better and better. Well, they've had some issues. So I just think it's a consistency thing right now with Auburn is you just sort of don't know what you're going to get. And what I'm intrigued about next week is now that everything's off the table for Auburn, they cannot win the SEC West no matter what. They certainly are out of the playoff picture. Are they fired up for this game, or are they going to pack it in? Because that could be the difference between a close game, a dogfight, and Alabama just running away with it at home, because that could certainly happen. Kids are deflated. I mean, these are 18, 19, 20, 21-year-old kids, played in the national championship last year. Now they've got nothing to play for on the road against a rival. Obviously the rivalry is going to mean a lot to a lot of these guys, especially the seniors, but a team's mindset can change easily, especially with a deflating, flat loss like they just suffered. So that'll be interesting to me more than anything is which Auburn team do you get? Do you get the one that's fired up to salvage something out of this season, or one that's ready to pack it in?
I know we normally keep it the conversation locked in on Alabama and the opponent, but with, again, who the opponent is and some other interesting things going on around the league, I'd like to kind of venture out to some others, and let's go with the East because of what's on the line there. I mean, Missouri wins. They're the representative for that division for a second straight year, something nobody could have forecast when they got obliterated by Georgia at home and maybe even when they lost to Indiana prior to that. But they're not in a bad spot. You'd probably rather be at home, but there are worse places to be right now than the front runner headed to Knoxville.
Yeah, and you know what's funny is the teenager staff and I, we were talking riding up to Knoxville about this. When you look at their last five games, Missouri, if you asked Missouri, hey, scrap your schedule and handpick the five teams in the league you want to play coming down the stretch, it's about as close as you could have gotten. I mean, it was, it's Texas A&M, Tennessee, obviously, Arkansas to end the year. And it's not to say that those are bad teams, but they had no Georgia, no Alabama, no LSU, nothing like that. It was as cookie cutter as they could have asked for coming down the stretch. You have Vanderbilt, of course. So, but you know what? It's still two tricky games. I could see Missouri winning both. I could see Missouri losing both. I could see them splitting and not getting in. But if I'm an Alabama fan, certainly I would want Missouri to get in. I think they're a less intimidating team. I don't think they have nearly the talent that Georgia has. And while Georgia has put up some stinkers now, I mean, obviously Florida being the main one, talent-wise, it's not even close. I mean, having to stop Nick Chubb and Sony Michelle and some of the talent they have, if you get them on a good day, they can beat anybody. I'm not sure that a good day for Missouri means they can beat Alabama at a neutral site. So, just looking at it, it's sort of a running joke. You never want to pick who you want to play because then they come and beat you, but if I'm an Alabama fan, I think I feel the best about taking on Missouri instead of Georgia. So I would want them to win these last two games.
I would agree. Whether it's Alabama, Mississippi State, or Ole Miss, you'd probably rather face Missouri than Georgia. The difference is, though, I think if you're Alabama, you can afford to pick the lesser opponent. It may be because of the whole ranking deal that if you're Mississippi State, if you're Ole Miss, you need to face Georgia in order to help build that resume, right. And you're going to garner more respect there. It's probably the same reason that Mississippi State's pulling for Ole Miss to win in Fayetteville this week. They need the Rebels to be as highly ranked as possible when they face them in 2 weeks in the Egg Bowl.
Absolutely. If you're Mississippi State, then you need that that Egg Bowl to mean as much as possible. And, you know, one thing I think people are overlooking with the college football playoff, with Alabama being number one now, is I am struggling to find any scenario where Alabama, obviously they can lose a game. That goes without saying, and they'd be out of the playoff in all likelihood, especially if they lose to Auburn. But with them being number one now, how can they, in my mind, that means they're going to be number one to end the year. If you compare their schedule to Oregon, their schedule to Florida State, how are you going to drop Alabama behind teams that play a worse schedule at this point? And why does that matter? Well, because that means they can play in New Orleans as a top seed instead of Florida. If Florida State gets ahead of them, that could mean Pasadena for Alabama. So that's a big, big difference. And the only scenario I can come up with in my mind that would allow the playoff committee to jump somebody ahead of Alabama, even if they keep winning, would be if somehow Florida State started beating teams by 60 points. I think that would, I mean, if they crush Boston College this week and they crush Florida and they crush Georgia Tech in the ACC championship game, I mean, not even close, 40, 50 points, right, and they're undefeated, then maybe I could see some rhetoric go back towards Florida State as an undefeated team when they start to dominate. But other than that, that's a big, important thing that I think some fans are overlooking, is being number one, a number one seed means a close semifinal, and that could be a big, big difference for Alabama down the stretch.
USC, UCLA has kind of factored in over the years to the national championship picture. It's kind of the outside, but not too far outside. UCLA huge when they take on the Trojans this weekend.
Yeah, and you know, it's funny because growing up, usually one team was really bad. There was a little stretch there with UCLA, and they had, I think it was Cade McCown was the quarterback, but they were competing, they were in the running for national championships, and then. And USC was down, and then, of course, the USC dynasty, UCLA, was bad. So even though they're both sort of out of the factor of the playoff, they're both, you know, top 20 teams, I believe. And
right.
And it's funny, I saw the commercial today for it and made me think, man, on a week of stinkers, that's probably might be the best game on the board right now with this last week before the rivalry weekend at the end of the month.
I know you guys will probably hit the ground running Sunday with your preview of the Iron Bowl, not to give away the farm there, but what will we be looking for? How soon can we get our Iron Bowl fix is what I'm asking you.
Yeah, that's right. Well, man, depending on who you ask, you might be able to get them this week. I will say this. If there's one thing that does interest me this week, it's I've been setting the over-under of carries for T.J. Yeldon at like 8.5. I would be shocked if he got, and that's probably too high. I mean, I'm curious to see how some of these injured guys are used and how quickly they get the hook, like a Brian Vogler, a Cam Robinson, T.J. Yeldon. So if there's anything to watch for fans out there this week, it's how quick do they get the starters out, and especially the hobbled starters before, you know, you just start sending, putting the subs in. But, hey, Iron Bowl, we'll have it covered wall-to-wall, you know that. I sort of want to see what happens, you know, make sure there's no injuries this week. I guess you got to get the other game on the board before you can start putting a prediction. But it won't be too long after Saturday, I'm sure. Sunday or Monday, something like that.
All right. Good deal. Hey, always appreciate your time. Have a good weekend. Look forward to seeing you tomorrow.
All right. Hey, thanks, Chris.